welcome everyone to tonight's Citizens Climate University. It's a weekly webinar program of Citizens Climate Lobbies that provides CCL supporters like you and I with access to in-depth training opportunities on topics relating to climate change and effective climate advocacy. I'm your host, Brent Cease, and tonight's topic is focused on growing your conservative membership within your chapter, especially ahead of CCL's March Conservative Conference. We're going to join CCL's Conservative Outreach Director, Drew Ireley, for a training that's going to provide ideas and resources for all members of CCL to recruit conservatives, regardless of your political affiliation. The ideas in our training tonight are going to help us engage with conservatives in our community concerned about climate change that will also be interested in joining a supportive community with Citizens Climate Lobby. So a little bit about Drew. Drew Ireley serves as a Conservative Outreach Director, and in that role for CCL, he lends a conservative voice and perspective to our organization's mission while working to recruit, educate, and engage those right of center in the pursuit of a sustainable world. Drew's path to climate advocacy came through personal experience, and it's a story that he's actually going to share more about tonight. But we have threefold learning goals for tonight that we're hoping everyone walks away from. We want to highlight ideas and resources that are available for all of our membership to recruit and engage fellow conservatives throughout your community. We want to understand the importance of an inclusive culture in your own local chapter to create a supportive community. And then really focus towards the end, we're going to invite everyone to think about an action plan that you can come up with to invite connections that you have in your network to the upcoming Conservative Conference. But with that, I will pass it to you, Drew. Thank you all for being here tonight, and the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Brett. And thank you all for being here tonight. This is something that I'm truly passionate about. And I look forward to sharing my experience as well as hearing all of your experiences in this realm of conservative outreach. So our agenda tonight, we're going to start with background, and then we're going to move into who to reach out to, types of organizations, people, areas that we might find more conservatives that are more apt to talk about this issue. Hosting an event, how to make your event more conservative friendly. Then we're going to move into our follow-up and also having a conversation with conservatives, how to actually talk to them and put yourself in their shoes and connect certain issues that may be important to them. And then we will finally wrap up tonight with a Q&A discussion. That's my favorite part. I think we learn the most out of discussion. So please have those questions loaded and ready to go. I will answer them to the best of my ability. And if I can't, as Brett said, he has dropped my email into the chat. Feel free to fire whatever questions you have to me after this presentation. All right. According to Yale and George Mason University, in 2018, 52% of Republicans surveyed thought global warming was happening, and 36% of those thought it was mostly caused by humans. Furthermore, 40% of Republicans surveyed were either somewhat or very worried about global warming. There are conservatives that live near us that are concerned about climate change. One goal of our outreach is to find those concerned conservatives and encourage them to turn their concern into constructive action. And that is my whole job. So one of my biggest goals going into 2022 has been around young Republicans, young conservatives. They have grown up in the education system that actually teaches climate science. So they're a lot more open to the idea and having these discussions. They see the problems. And that's kind of a generational thing. Some of our older conservatives that we talked to, they didn't grow up with this science, starting being educated on this science at such a young age. So as you can see, with our young conservatives, typically under the age of 40, 75% recognize some human activity in climate change. 65% recognize at least half of climate change due to human activity. So speaking with our college Republicans, just younger generations, it's a great place to start. They're going to be more open to having this conversation. College Republicans on climate risk. So climate change ranks in the top six of a list of desired party priorities. And as you can see, looking at the other ones, as I was explaining, they're a lot more open-minded. One of our top issues supports aggressive action to ensure racial and gender equality. These aren't really typical of what we think of concerns when it comes to conservatives. But with our youth, they are there. They want to have these discussions. They want to see actions around issues that the media tells us are predominantly left-leaning. As they're coming up, the stereotype is changing. So clean energy ranks second out of 40 on a list of issues important for a candidate to support. If you can get out there and you can talk to our college Republicans and have them on your teams involved in the discussion, they can go into these offices, especially our younger members of Congress who have a whole career ahead of them. And they've got some leeway and, you know, some push that they can do to, you know, demonstrate that, hey, this is an up and coming issue. It's time to get ahead of that ball if you plan on keeping your career, because we're going to vote around this. Trump voters on climate risk. So more than 6 in 10 Trump voters support taxing and or regulating the pollution that causes global warming. Taking a look at this this pie chart here, you know, we can see that, you know, 31% actually want both. 18% say regulate pollution. 13% say tax pollution. 21% say neither, and 16% say don't know. So the majority, even though they voted for Trump, you know, because we like to say, you know, the Trumpers don't care about, you know, climate and things like that. That's not necessarily true. If I am going to be completely honest with all of you, first time around, I voted for Trump. And even then, I was still a CCL supporter. I still believe in climate action. So don't immediately write somebody off just because of who they voted for. 62% of, you know, those Trump supporters are open to having this discussion. All right, so if you want more info, check out our CCL training on communicating with conservatives that our conservative outreach coordinator, Nate, he's absolutely phenomenal, very well spoken and written. He provides that each quarter for more background and our conservative recommendations for your communications work. In it, Nate will cover, he goes over general suggestions for communicating with conservatives and for communicating politically in general. Second, he talks about the aspects of climate change that resonate most with conservatives, so you have a better idea of what to mention in these conversations. Third, he's gonna go over ways in which carbon pricing is a politically conservative policy. Had this argument today with somebody. And then he goes over how it can be considered an economically conservative policy. So ways that it benefits, you know, conservative issues that might not necessarily be centered around climate change, but it still behooves the conservative to consider this policy and support it. Once he's addressed all those sections, they'll have time for a Q&A, just like with any other training that we do, and offer the opportunity to personalize the information with a couple other people in breakout rooms. You know, specifically giving you the opportunity to reflect on how this information might apply to your own life. All right, so who should you reach out to? I am running two screens here. I apologize for the slight delays. Back up one. There we go. So to start with, people you know. You know, if you already know a conservative, you know an individual, you have that relationship with them, they're more likely to listen to you because they don't think you're coming out of left field, no pun intended. The most likely place to find a conservative who is concerned about climate change is in the exact place you might find other people. Make yourself a beacon for conservatives by showing respect for their views and putting yourself in an audience where they're more likely to be. Talking to conservatives who are active in CCL, they create your bridge. The most important place for all CCL members to start is reaching out to people you already know. Talking to people at a party, a public event, asking them to get a cup of coffee sometime. When you're out, look for people you know and begin a conversation with them. Even with people you know as progressive, you have some relationship capital with them. Just be yourself and reach out to others who may be conservative. You can also host a neighborhood dinner and invite a diverse group of people where you can discuss climate and energy in general. Too often we fight with people behind, you know, computer screens, and then we have a bunch of other people supporting the decisions so that we think that we're right. If you can just sit down and have a face-to-face conversation with somebody, you'll find out a lot more and, you know, come to some sort of compromise and at least an understanding of and respect. So, you know, with close connections, if you know some conservatives, consider inviting them to our conservative conference that we're having in DC from March 29th to 30th of this year. They will have to fill out an application, you know, that asks some conservative based questions that kind of verify that they're conservative. And that's simply because we want to show the members of Congress that are coming that conservatives do care. You know, we want a whole room of right-leaning individuals and say, these, everybody here has your back and your support. So with that said, here are some examples to help with ideas of what organizations and events you can speak to or table at in your community. CCL members often link to or they join local groups that overlap with their interests and, you know, might have conservatives. So you join, build relationships with local chapters of any group, and always feel free to reach out to me with ideas or questions on how to coordinate those relationships with the conservative leaning groups at any level. You know, that's my job. That's why I'm here on national staff. I am here to help you all with your outreach efforts and bringing more conservatives into this organization. So some of the groups that are likely to have conservatives who are concerned about climate, habitat and conservation and sportsman groups. As you saw in my bio, this one is very near and dear to my heart. Growing up in Pennsylvania, at the age of 12, I was out hunting, fishing, doing everything, and it's a big part of what brought me here. So some of these organizations, we have a close partnership with Trout Unlimited. They see how climate is affecting the cold water fish population, trout and salmon. As the water warms, they lose oxygen in the water, and it's having a horrible impact on our cold water fish. Bass Nation, by state, ice fishing groups. So we have like the Michigan Steelhead and Salmon Fishermen's Association. We also have other conservation organizations like Ducks Unlimited. Audubon is a great one. I've been to a couple of their conferences and events. Pheasants Forever, Quail Forever, County Waterfall, American Woodcock Society, and the NWTF, National Wild Turkey Federation, as well as Waterfowl USA. The majority of these organizations all have scientists, biologists, people working, and they're looking at climate change. There is a place, an arena to have these discussions with them. Then we have like general hunting, so trappers, Mule Deer Foundation. There's Quality Deer Management Association. My personal opinion is that outdoorsmen are the biggest conservationists that we have. Sometimes it just takes a little nudge to show them, one, the problem and how their conservation efforts are more reactive than proactive. And we know that reactive always costs more. So by having the conversation with them, helping them connect the issues, like, you know, warming climate is creating a habitat for our feral hog population to travel further north, and it's wreaking havoc on turkey hatch. You know, they're raiding turkey nests, and we're seeing a lot of issues, especially here in Georgia, where we're just not getting the amount of turkey that we used to. So things similar to that. There's room to have these conversations. And then there's also winter sports, skiing, American Council of Snowmobile Association, things like that. So I know, like out in Idaho, there's water competition between, you know, you have the tourism industry that brings in a lot of money, and then you have agricultural industry that brings in a lot of money, but they're not getting snowpacks and the snowfall that they used to, so they have to make snow in order to support the tourism industry. The farmers aren't getting the rainfall that they need, so everybody is competing over open water sources. In turn, they're losing money. You know, because they have to spend money to make money now instead of getting it, you know, getting this natural rainfall and snowfall from the environment. We also have business groups. So your local chamber of commerce, business leaders, regional sustainable business forums, American Sustainable Business Council, local groups, any of those guys. They're, you know, business is a huge part of the conservative mindset. So going and talking to them and showing how businesses can be impacted by climate change and how they can benefit from addressing climate change, decreased regulations, taxes, no need to stay on top of, you know, hire people, four or five people to stay on top of regulations to avoid penalties and fines. So moving on from that, some other groups are your local philanthropic and civic groups. So Rotary Clubs, Lions Clubs, Elks, Kiwanis Clubs, Masonic Temple, Fraternal Order of Masons, and Historic Preservation Societies. This is all conservation. You know, whether it's you know, conservation of history, you know, you're going to find conservatives in there that understand the value of conserving. So some of our other clubs that don't really fall into any kind of category, gardening clubs, you know, yachting, boating, sailing clubs. You know, I have to laugh because a lot of these ones are more like white collar. You know, and then we move into like county fair, state fair, rodeo, farm shows. I think we have listed here country and bluegrass music festivals. You know, I will tell you, I listen to everything. So don't discredit, you know, rock concerts and stuff like that as well. But typically your red, white, and blue Americans, you're going to find them at the country stuff, you know, and even 4-H events. And 4-H is actually a great place to start. So my 12-year-old stepdaughter got real big into 4-H a few years ago, and all of her stuff is around STEM, and they actually do projects around environmental science. So if you can go in and you can talk to these kids, you know, and get the whoever the director is for their 4-H area, allow you to come in and, you know, work with them on a project on, you know, policy development around climate change. That's something that helps build their resume, and you're educating the next generation coming up. For me personally, veterans and active military. We'll talk more about it, but it was really my time in the military that brought me here. I know we tend to not look at things so much that way, but going out to and targeting this population and hosting a showing of a movie like The Burden or Tidewater in a conservative environment, like a brewery, which is what I did, you'll get a pretty good turnout, you know, especially if you cater it and everything. You know, these are broke soldiers. They're coming out for food and drinks and realizing the impact that our infrastructure and climate change has on the jobs that they've been charged to do and, you know, protecting this country. We also have conservative faith-based groups. So Christian groups, Creation of Care, angle focused more on conservative Christians, churches with climate-friendly policies. Kelsey Grant, the former conservative coordinator, was great with this stuff and this angle, and that is what brought her to the table. I'm sure she'd be willing to talk to anybody that, you know, thinks that this may be an appropriate angle for them. You can always reach out to me, and I can try to make that connection. And then groups that support discussion between parties. You know, we have the Braver Angels, their whole mission is to teach the red and the blue how to communicate across the aisle. Your neighbors. So you have a neighbor, and you know, they may not agree with your overall political views, but at least you have time to talk to them, and they understand that you're not just a bandwagon jumper or anything like that. So you invite them over for dinner, have a conversation, polite, respectful, and you know, talk to them about these issues. Why is it important to you? What issues are important to them? How do they all intersect? And then we have conservative partisan groups, college Republicans, young Republicans, National Federation of Republican Women Clubs. Republican women are a great place to start as well. They tend to be a little bit more open to conversation, and then they just drag their husbands along. So that's just how that one goes. Now, in order to go into those circles, I would suggest trying to find yourself a conservative that is already there. They're just going to be more apt to be able to have a better conversation, a more effective conversation. And it's okay to use the tools at your disposal. You know, we don't have to be in complete control of everything. We just need to know the right people to talk to. And one of my personal favorites as of recently are our libertarian groups. This carbon pricing, carbon fee dividend specific, has so many libertarian values to it. Do not hesitate to go talk to the libertarians. I am developing talking points on that now. I'm actually trying to stand up a libertarian action team to help facilitate those talking points and be the tip of the spear going into this political party. But some of the organizations around there, Young Americans for Liberty, Students for Liberty, a lot of that's the big transition out of the Republican Party right now. They're not happy with what our older Republicans are doing. So our younger Republicans are taking more of a libertarian stance. So they're more open to those discussions. They have more, you know, concerns. Don't rule them out. That is a great place to go and talk. So traditional climate events. Conservatives who are concerned about climate are seeking organizations they feel comfortable in. So don't underestimate the importance of tabling and handling out flyers at local science talks, climate marches, Osher Lifelong Learning Institute courses, and other places a concerned conservative might go. They're looking for a home. I was looking for a home. And my college professor pulled me into CCL. So attending an event, you know, start networking with other Republican organizations that are involved in this sphere. So we have Republic EN, ACC, YCCD. These are all conservative-based, we call it eco-right organizations. It's a great place to go and talk to conservatives, to develop your talking points, find out that there's other people in there, build your network up. They're all great, but they may not fit what the conservative is looking for. So you go to their events, you go to their conferences, and you get to talking to people there, and you're like, yeah, I'm with CCL. Well, who is CCL? That gives you time to open up and you know have the discussion about what we specifically do. And at best case scenario, they become a member of Republic EN as well as CCL. Because my mindset, we can support all the organizations. We don't have to be loyal to just one. It's one team, one fight. We're all trying to do the same thing, which is solve this crisis. You can host an event. So plan an event that's focused on reaching a conservative audience. The key is to, you know, we're doing this with our conservative conference right now. You know, the key is to determine a target audience and have a laser focus directing all actions for the event towards recruiting and engaging that audience. We can do that through advertising, mailing lists, phone banking, different, we have a lot of different tools at our disposal to reach out to a predominantly Republican base. And if you're trying to recruit a target audience, then recruit that audience. Avoid the temptation to send the invitation to your normal distribution list and focus on reaching out and building relationships with the people that you want to attract. Recruiting the people you want to come, it's as important as any of the event planning. Place ads, plan radio announcements, post flyers for your target audience, and plan to put as much time into recruiting your target audience as you do in the planning of the logistics in the event. Focus on the messaging. I will gladly work with anybody on their messaging. There's just different things that you wouldn't think of that, you know, a conservative may respond differently to. Leslie and our marketing team have been great with helping us develop more target specific messaging for a conservative audience. So we are developing a whole playbook that I would be glad to pass off to any of you that are trying to plan an event. Location, location, location. That's just as important too. You don't want to host an event in an area that is going to be seen as liberal. I mentioned earlier, you know, when we did showings of The Burden, I held it at a local brewery. You know, everybody loves their craft beer. So it was a good place to hold the audience. We need to follow the old real estate axiom. Location is critical. Don't plan to get a conservative audience to watch a movie at an alternative movie venue when your local Democratic Party hosts their monthly meetings there. And once you have a target audience, find the venue that they're going to be comfortable with. Another angle is, show them video that talk about a conservative who has gone through this experience. For me personally, Bob Inglis, I'm a huge fanboy. Bob Inglis is what brought me to climate science. Prior to that, there's a whole nother story that I'm going to share here shortly, but my professor Sabrina Fu, our She's the Mid-Atlantic Regional Coordinator. She made us watch one of the, actually this specific TED Talk in one of our classes. And I was hooked from start to finish. And I said, you know, this guy gets it. He's got a similar story to mine with kids. I hung on every single word he said. I watched every TED Talk after that. There's nothing that he puts out. Can huge fan of Republic EN. Absolutely love Bob Inglis. And his words resonate with the, excuse me for saying it this way, common sense Republican. So you have somebody who's actually, you know, okay, I'm willing to listen. You show them some of his TED Talks and they'll start connecting the dots on their own. So I think one of the big things to understand is that we all, especially Republicans, some of us have very different backgrounds and paths to how we got here. I did tours in Iraq and Afghanistan as a medic. Became very focused on, or concerned rather, with the amount of casualties coming off of fossil fuel routes. You know, that, and you know, fuel is the lifeblood of war. So like we had to have it. So these were casualties that are happening from a necessity in order for us to function over in that area, as well as the economic cost. You know, some of those remote outposts, we were paying them $400 a barrel just to get diesel fuel up there, and everything runs on diesel, generators, trucks, everything. So I started looking at like the IPCC report from 2009, where it was over 500 casualties per year between the two theaters, just from fossil fuel routes alone. That's 500 sons, daughters, mothers, fathers, aunts, uncles, brothers and sisters that didn't come home because of the military's dependency on fossil fuel. That didn't sit right with me. And then I come home and I'm seeing my, you know, fellow veterans in the VA with cardiac and respiratory issues. Now, I can't say exactly it could have been burn pits or anything like that, but I can tell you that Okonis grade diesel has is over 90% PM 0.1 micron or smaller. So that means those particulates are embedded in the lungs, you know, can affect the heart. You know, and me personally, I have to believe that that did not help their conditions. So I started getting really involved in energy infrastructure. Still wasn't sold on climate science. I got real involved in energy infrastructure, which took me to my degree in environmental science. And I started to believe the science a little bit more, but I didn't sense the urgency or need because, you know, why am I going to worry about this? It's 50 years down the road. There's just absolutely no point. And like I tell in my lobby meetings, it took the birth of a 10-pound baby girl with eyes or cheeks so big she couldn't open her eyes to get me to open mine. You know, all these what ifs of the world were suddenly right in front of my face. You know, what if she's one of these casualties off fossil fuel route because she followed in my footsteps? What if she's the veteran sitting next to me in the VA coughing up blood, you know, because of exposure to Okonis grade diesel? How am I going to look at her, you know, and say I did nothing? So I really wanted, you know, I started looking at policies and everything, and they were just very far left leaning stuff that, you know, I really couldn't get behind because of my Republican and conservative morals and values. And then Professor Fu introduced me to CCL and carbon fee and dividend, and I immediately fell in love. You know, it's the car insurance policy that you get safe driver rewards for. You may never wreck your car, but, you know, we may be able to curb this thing so we never experience climate change, you know, but in that time frame, we're going to boost the economy, we're going to have job growth, we're going to, you know, businesses are going to flourish, and we're going to move into the next century without using dated technology. It just hit all the benefits of my conservative beliefs. And then I started coming to conferences, I stood up the Augusta chapter, with the help of another lady, and I just became more and more involved. And the more that I became involved, the more passionate I became. And it was really CCL that drove that final nail in that got me as involved as I am today. And that's my background. there are other, people who maybe see the economic advantages and how, we're looking at, potential economic collapse if we don't address the third leg of the stool, which is environment. So take the time and talk to people about their life experiences. What do they care about? What are the issues that they see? And then figure out how to relate climate change, or even just solutions to climate change, to the problems that they have and the issues that they face and what they think are serious. Conservatives are different as any other demographic. Throwing some standard textbook shotgun blast answer at them, it's never going to stick. It's never going to work. So you really need to take the time and get to know. I'll try to speed this up here a little bit. I like to say that, recruiting the left is extremely easy. That's a sprint. But if we really want bipartisan action and cooperation, the Republican side of the House is more of a marathon. You got to slow down a little bit. You got to make sure you go to step 1, 2, and 3 in order. You can't just jump to 3 because you'll lose them. So keep that in mind while you're talking to people. Show them stuff that's going to resonate with them, relate to them. Put yourself in their shoes and develop the argument that they would use with the tools at their disposal if they were talking to people themselves, and then use that argument on them. Section 4, having the conversation. So building bipartisan support for parties, for the parties. Stuff like a sporting event and how to frame a discussion around 2 teams. So one of the conversations I like to have with people, I'll have all my friends over for football and stuff like that, and I'll start to relate how politics are very similar to the football game that we're watching. And you can really apply it to any sporting event. You have 2 teams with very similar playbook trying to get to opposite ends. And the only thing really different about them is the uniform they're wearing. I like to speak in analogies. And for me, that's like, hey, we're all trying to do the same thing here. We're just on opposite sides. And, our plays may be a little different, but they're fairly similar. Take the uniforms off and work together to solve each other's problems. Local impacts. That's another, great talking point for conservatives. We care about state and local issues a lot. And what do you see in your local community that, one, is either being impacted by climate change, or 2, can be fixed by a policy such as carbon fee and dividend, carbon pricing, carbon taxation. For me, growing up, it was the trout streams, the warming waters. I may not have necessarily applied it to climate change back then, but eutrophication, going crazy in these streams and choking them of oxygen to where you just can't fish them anymore. They're dead. They won't support life. And I talked earlier about migration of feral hogs, messing with the turkeys, as well as, things like water competition between industries. Another big talking point for me that's been extremely successful is global trade. Where I live, just outside of town, is extremely rural. And there's a lot of veteran farmers that I became friends with through my other nonprofit that do things like raise grass-fed longhorn. His market is extremely small that he can sell to, because people can, he has to sell his ground beef for $8 to $10 a pack, where, people can go to Walmart and get it for, $4 to $7. So, but when I start talking to him about, things like a carbon border adjustment, and now we no longer have cheap beef coming up from South America, where there's no environmental regulations, price is going to go up for them to sell here, which makes his beef much more marketable, and his audience expands to where, now he can start raising more head of cows. He can actually lower his cost and still make the same profit, if not more. So here's a guy who never wanted to talk about climate change or climate policy, and all of a sudden he's like, oh, so this can benefit my business? I'm like, absolutely. And now he's on board 100%. So what we have here are different talking points that you can use. Let's go back over here. When talking to conservatives. So free market can fix most of our problems faster than anything else. But only problems it can see. And how do we make climate change visible to the market? So that said, we'll take a few minutes here. Does anybody have anything Like, you know, how do we make climate change visible to the market? This one right here, I do want to talk about it for a quick second. So what are one big government then ignore climate change? I actually got into it with a Republican today who told me I could not be conservative if I was involved in this topic. And this was something that I brought up to him, because he talked about, you know, the growing size of government, overreach and all that stuff. So with all these issues and things that happen as a result of climate change, when these disasters strike, everybody turns to the government and says, we need your help. We need this fixed. And that's tax dollars. And then the government has justification to grow and, you know, bring in more tax money to support this stuff. So from a libertarian perspective, it behooves us to address climate change, to address these natural disasters and everything. So, you know, the government isn't involved in trying to fix stuff. Especially when it hits, military bases. Hurricane Matthew or Michael that hit Air Force Base Tinsdale, and billions of dollars in destruction, and that's all taxpayer funded. So, you know, if we want to keep our government small from a libertarian perspective, this is a great way to do it, or at least a good first step, one key to that puzzle. After you identify conservatives who are interested in learning more, stay focused on the personal connections to help engage these new CCL members. We want them to feel like they're involved and they have a home. You know, we're filled with people who stay active because of personal link to other CCL members. So make phone calls, send out the invitations weekly and monthly, and even years after the event, increase the odds that you truly recruit an active CCL member and not just a name on the list. Getting coffee or lunch with these people, you know, it's pleasurable. It does not always have to be CCL related. We're here because of relationships that started around our interests. Maintain that relationship and maintain the interest and maintain the activity. So a real life example of this is, you know, Jim Tolbert, he followed up through a mail merge email with a list of people that he met talking at an event. It was 1 year after the event. And one of the people replied back that he just got out of school and wanted more information about his local chapter and started connecting with that local chapter. And this was after a year of no activity. So converting the names on a list to active CCL members, it takes much more energy as organizing an event or preparing to speak does. To leverage the names you find, plan time to follow up with them. Call them, call them, call them. And this was a hard thing for me to learn. And now, I don't even like sending emails. If I send an email, it's when is a good time to give you a phone call? Because I'd rather talk to you as a person. And be open to feedback and making sure that you're checking in with your people to get their insights on how the group's culture can be conservative friendly space as possible. I'm looking into this right now. It's one of my projects is to understand the dynamic of the chapters who have active conservatives and talking to those chapters on how they function, as well as talking to the conservatives in those chapters on what makes them stay around and stay active, as far as the dynamic of the chapter goes. And then we have our highly engaged individual conservatives that I'm reaching out to that says, well, you know, you're engaged in this, you know, in the effort, but why are you not engaged in the chapter? What turns you off from that? So I can help kind of change the chapter dynamics. But we can get ahead of that with all of your help by taking the time to, you know, after a chapter meeting or something, and that conservative has been there, pull them aside and say, hey, what did you like? What didn't you like? Don't be defensive. If they criticize something and say, well, there was a lot of sidebar talk about issues not related to this that made me uncomfortable, you know, show some sympathy and compassion around that, you know, and then address it. You know, it's possible to have microaggressions against conservatives without even thinking about it. So address those with the people that might be creating an environment that makes it uncomfortable for the conservative to be there. All right, so what I want to talk about real quick before we jump into our Q&A is the conservative conference that we have coming up. It is a great introduction if you do have conservatives that you think may be interested or concerned on this topic, and they want to understand more, and they want to see that they're not alone. Conservatives were once the undisputed champions of conservation, and we want to return to our roots. So invite these people to come out. They're going to see their Republican members. Thank you, ma'am. They want to see the Republican members of Congress and the best that the eco-right has to offer. And we're going to discuss the opportunities provided by conservative climate action. We'll have discussions on strategy and what people think is the best way forward, jobs, business, how health is impacted by climate change, and how this all relates to conservative values. It's going to be in DC, it's going to be in person. There are COVID restrictions that have popped up in DC, so we've got to make sure we comply with all that stuff. But it's all for the right leaning. We are not going to have any left-leaning individuals there. So there's a short application that you have to fill out. I vet everybody, and then as long as they pass everything, I'll send them a registration link. We also have scholarships if you would like to let them know to help them with their travel. And it's just a really exciting time, and I am extremely excited to be part of it, and I hope to see as many conservatives there as possible. So far we've invited Representative Curtis, who we know is leading the Conservative Climate Caucus, Nancy Mace, Meeks, Young Kim. I know Murkowski is willing to do a video. She said she couldn't make it. Fitzpatrick out of Pennsylvania, he was invited. Braun is not going to make it, which is disappointing, but we should have a good many Republican congressmen there, as well as the talking heads for all the eco-right. So it will be a very good time, and I'm excited, and I hope to see a good turnout. Just different things on conservatives involved in climate change that if you'd like to read more about, you can go look at. We'll go forward another one. This is the Conservative Caucus Action Team. So if you would like to be involved in the discussions and see what conservatives are talking about, you can join as a friend. If you are a conservative or you have a conservative person who's interested in this, please point them to the Conservative Caucus Action Team. We have monthly calls every second Monday of the month. The discussions in the forums are great. And it's a great place to just educate yourself and understand the conversations around this from a conservative perspective. With that said, we are going to wrap up tonight here. I appreciate all of you taking the time to sit here and put up with me for the last hour. That is my email address. So feel free to send me questions or go to CCL's community forum and post your questions there. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, Drew. Good
night. Drew. Thank you for listening to this episode of Citizens Climate Lobby's training program. You can tune into more episodes anywhere podcasts are available. Inspired by what you heard today? Join Citizens Climate Lobby to advocate for bipartisan climate solutions. Go to community.citizensclimate.org to find more trainings, resources, your local chapter, national action teams, discussion forums, and more. Be sure to like our Facebook page and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Citizens Climate. We also invite all of our listeners to subscribe to our YouTube channel for more inspiration. And together, we are creating the political will for a livable world.